All right, we'll call this budget and finance meeting to order. Committee meeting to order. Let's see, we'll open up with Treasurer Sampson. We'll give us a financial report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you follow the summary statement report, January 1st, 2024 to September 30th, 2024. County General Fund $1,003,019,334.05. County Road Fund $2,006,635.51. County Road Sales Tax Fund $34,210,745.06. County Welfare Control Fund $34,01,575,334.47. Criminal Justice Sales Tax Fund $34,072,452,724.63. Coronavirus Relief Fund $1,005,948,641.06. American Rescue Plan Fund $30,006,500,433.79. ARP Replacement Revenue Replacement $1,006,921,425.57. Turn to page two. This is the County General Revenue Report, the chart on it. We are almost dead even where we were at this point last year. So we're going to top our $14 million kind of projected budget. Once again, I think I've talked about the last 2 months. Collections on Avalon taxes down just a little bit. Even though Avalon taxes are more this year than last year, the collections just are not showing that. We're going to see what happens here by the time that we meet in October, and definitely by November, we're going to definitely know that. We're not hurting. We're just not where I'd like for us to be, but we are where we are. On page three, sales tax for September is $1,192,996.96. That's 4.94% better than September of 2023. And we are currently 7.65% year to date above where we were in 2023. Page four. This is the overall. We collected $11,134,223.58. Sales tax revenue at 82% of projected. As y'all know, we are finishing the third quarter here in September. And so we're at 82% of our projected $13,500. We're going to surpass that projection and probably surpass that in November. Page five has the chart. That's the 3 month moving data. 3 month moving average versus your 1 year moving average. As we talked about pretty much all year, our 1 year is kind of out of whack or a little bit high due to that anomaly in January. You notice that it's kind of flattened out after a really good spike there on 124. We're continuing to be fine in every month that we have. Like I said, it's one. That anomaly in January really kind of put that chart out of whack. Everything looks great. Again, working on our revenue projections for 5 years. Very early into that, so I really don't want to do that.
Perfect. Thank you. Committee members, y'all have any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Treasurer. All right. Let's see here. We're just going to go in order here tonight. First, in new business, do I have a motion for proposed ordinance 24-37?
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 24-37 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, Justice Coates, I'm going to give this one to you.
And I'm probably going to pass the buck on down to some of our Animal Coalition members, but where we are at for where the animal shelter is sitting is this. The building is pretty much, I want to say complete because that's not true. The floors were finished up today. The dishwashers and sanitation equipment is going to be installed this week. The parking lot has to be finished. Some of the dirt work has to be finished. The fencing and some of the outside stuff has to be completed. And then from there, there are some ARP funds that can continue to fund some of the building, the parts of the building, if that makes sense. The surgical suite, the the surgical light. I mean, you know, there's all of these things that are not in the, we're not in the bid through NBMC, but are still required. You know, that we have to have that to move forward with operations. So with that being said, we're at the step where it's time to start planning for operations. And the coalition and the administrator have been meeting with me and visiting a little bit about some of the different things and their needs and where they sit with those. And where we're at right now is we cannot, as a county, open a shelter and operate it without additional funds from the voluntary tax fund that has been, you know, people have given into for all these years. Well, now's the time for that money to start being appropriated for operations. With that being said, and I don't want to misspeak exactly with an opening date, because that has not been determined, to my understanding, between construction and all of the operations, the protocols that have to be put in place, the DEA license, the computer software systems, you know, all of the operating procedures, all of those things have to all be in place before we're able to open the doors. And without some additional funds from that voluntary tax fund, that is not going to be able to be accomplished. So with that being said, I will turn it over to a couple of members of our Animal Coalition group if they would like to talk about the different funds, what some of these funds are going to be used for, as well as some of their own fundraising campaigns that they have in store for us.
Yes, I'm open to questions if you guys have any. I guess y'all have what I have in front of you with the different categories and breakdowns.
Would you mind introducing yourself? I'm exactly who you are.
Sorry, I'm Lori Quinn with the Faulkner County Animal Coalition, also known as the Faulkner County Animal Shelter. We have been working on a capital campaign. One of the things we're waiting on, which we're all waiting on, is for the shelter to open. We are planning a holiday open house event to open to the community. We want our community to see this place. We're proud of it. We want to all be proud of it. And we also, without doing any solicitation, we have, I think, about $80,000 committed for people who want to sponsor and buy rooms so far. We haven't even announced it yet. So that's been huge. And so our plan is to get that capital campaign going where we can have naming rights plaques on those rooms. So we're building it and then we're reselling it, which we think is super smart. And lots of folks have done that. And that will be a way for us to kind of build up some money and some cash. So we started with a generous donation of $40,000. We still have more than half of that left, and we've been operating since June. So when I say on a shoestring budget, we are getting donations from the public. Nick is working from home. He has used his own computer, his own phone. I mean, we have really been trying to spend no money until we got to this point. Now we need to hire. He has two people who have years of shelter experience that we are going to be hiring. They need to get trained. They need to learn how to use the software. They need to know how. And again, this is not my expertise. How to get a dog checked in, how you adopt a dog out, how we get our training and our community involvement with all of that. So we've got to get going on that because we want to be ready when it's ready to have all those things in place. And there really hasn't been. We're just now at that point. So I think things are moving along great. I think Nick feels confident about where we are, and he's worked really hard behind the scenes doing all kinds of things. And we're so blessed to have him. He is a wealth of information for us. So, with that being said, the public is very antsy, and some of you have seen our Facebook page. They're like, we want to start, we want to volunteer. Well, we can't volunteer yet because we're not open yet. So we feel like we're going to have lots of support from the community, but we also want to do this right, and we want to come out the right way in being patient and getting policies and procedures in place, and how we're going to run this operation is going to be critical for it long term and for it to last. And that's been part of the issue. There's always been the heart there from everyone in the community. Everybody wants this and everybody wants to do it, but we've got to do it the right way. So for us, we are being a little reserved. We are being a little conservative, but we think that's super important because this is taxpayer money and we want to do this right. And we want to allow Nick. We are not here to run the shelter. We're here to manage the nonprofit, and Nick knows what he's doing, and we want to allow him to do what he does and get the right staff people in there. And so tonight, that's what we're asking for. We need 90 days. We can't expect to open the doors and the staff who have not been trained or even have walked in the building yet. So we've got to get this, just like any business would. You don't open on day one without training your employees. So we've got to be able to have that time. So that's what we're here for tonight. Any questions y'all have?
I'll ask for an explanation, even though I already know the answer. But for others, you spoke a lot about Nick having the knowledge and the experience to run the animal side of the shelter and the operations of the shelter. Can you tell me a little bit about the board of directors for the Animal Coalition, what your business experience is, so that, I mean, y'all are going to be the ones that are going to be handling the money, being in charge of the money, watching where, the, you know, in charge of the capital campaign, all of those things. Can you tell us a little bit about your experiences there, and not just yours, but the board as a whole?
Right. We have, I think, a very good, diverse board that represents the business community. We have an attorney. We've got an insurance person. We've got a banker. We've got, which has been so helpful. But insurance, for example, you guys don't even have a clue what all kinds of policies we have to have to even have this shelter open. And thankfully, Shelley Strange is on our board, and she has a history with insurance and is able to say, we need this, we need this, we need that. So we've had business folks hands-on. And so that's our, to me, what we bring to the table is kind of overseeing from a business perspective, not just the passion, not just the heart, because we all have that and we all want to see this, but we've also got to run this like a business. And so I think that's what our board is going to do and going to keep things in line. Our bankers are looking at the money. We have committees. We have a finance committee. We have a fundraising committee. So again, part of it, there's some restraint right now because we've got to get open and we've got to have a facility. We want to show this off, and we think that's going to kind of be the kickstart for more donations. And I'll be honest, it's the response has been more than I have fundraised in the city for dozens of nonprofits for the last 30 years. And to see the response on this, I would say people like animals more than people. And so that has been my response. And I think it's going to be great. I just want everyone in the community to know we want your help. We want you to be a part of it, but we're going very cautiously because we want this to work. So that's kind of where we are on that.
I appreciate y'all doing the work that you're doing. And like I said, taking that approach because we want it to be right, not some fly-by-night thing and, you know, whatnot. Justice Coach, just overall, and you stop me where I'm wrong, although I've been here a little longer than you, but I know you are acquainted with the history of this. ARP money, we decided to give $1.5 million to build the animal shelter. That's almost done, right? That's all. We said we'd use the other $1.5 million that we have in our account, which is what almost exactly what it says today on Scott's report is $1.5 million to kickstart the operations to get us going, because we know we only revenue about $100,000 a year, give or take, into that account, maybe a little bit lower. So this is the first ask then, I believe, besides the $40,000 this year that we've spent on our spay and neuter program, where we're spending money on this, on the operations of the shelter. Okay. I just wanted to kind of paint that overall picture. This has been a 15-year conversation, and to get to the point where we're at is important to note. So we appropriated the money. The judge put out an RFQ, request for qualifications. I don't know how many answers they had on that. Doesn't matter. And then they contract with an agency. So have we contracted with, Mr. Murphy, this may be a question for you, have we contracted with this group for the operations of the shelter?
Not yet, but it's in the process.
It's in the process. Okay. All right. And so then we appropriate this money that you're asking for on the thing. Okay. Perfect. I just wanted to kind of paint that picture.
And I think part of the reasoning that we're asking for the money before the contract is completely signed is partially on a timeline situation. Yeah. If we put it off, you know, last month we didn't have a quorum, and so we weren't able to meet. And this was such a long situation. We kind of put it off until this month. But if we put it off an additional 30 days, that is definitely going to slow operations and opening, push that past the first of the year for sure.
And there's been many times in the past that we've appropriated money for services where the judge has not been contracted. And that's not anything outside the normal. So I just wanted to point that out as well. Okay. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions on the ordinance as a whole? JP's out in the public. Any questions? Any public comment on this ordinance for animal money? All right, seeing none, all in favor of passage of proposed ordinance 24-37 to the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Do we have a motion for ordinance 24-38?
Make a motion for proposed ordinance 24-38 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. Justice Coates, I'm giving you this one again.
So much fun. So just a little bit of the backstory from all of this. You spoke of the shelter being built of the ARP fund, and then we have the voluntary tax fund that has been paid into for approximately 15 years. So for all of these years, it's my understanding, and Administrator Higgins may be able to correct me, but the only money that has come out of that fund is to purchase the building that we are now renovating and the low-cost spay and neuter SNP program, which is a voucher program for our rescue groups, Faulkner County-based rescue groups, and the residents of Faulkner County. So that's where the money kind of is divided out. Up until tonight, there was no other money spent. So if you guys will remember back during budget season last year, they had a little bit of, they had a lot of money left over from the prior year, and we discussed how we needed to reevaluate. So let's allocate the $40,000 is what the SNP program received this last year, and then let's reevaluate it a little bit further into the year. And the reasoning for that is, I'll go back and refresh memories, is not that the voucher system was not needed or necessary or not being used. It was the capacity of companions, and they literally, if you've tried to get an appointment, you know how difficult it is. It is not that those services are not needed, but they can only run so many operating rooms, so many, you know, animals through at a time, and they just capacity-wise could not use all of that money at that point. So that's where we're at. That program has run out of money, and we are trying to fund that for the rest of the year. And I believe Marie Betancourt is here if she wants to talk to us a little bit about what we're asking for. Right now it's $12,000 to finish out the year.
So right now we are at, we've allocated everything that we have as of today. We've done about 1,000 surgeries thus far this year. We hope to finish another 300 to 350 surgeries this year through the Faulkner County program. It has been, like you said, it is, capacity is one thing. The second thing that we have, it's almost a limiting factor as far as our voucher program. So, for example, female dogs, people can apply, they are granted $50 through the voucher program. But sometimes, you know, that other portion of it is, we've got, you know, $25 to $100 left over. How do they pay for that? You know what I mean? So that's part of it. You know, so I think with our voucher program, are we doing a phenomenal job? Yes. I mean, we are. I've been contacted by so many other counties, like, how did you get that started? Like, you know, how progressive is that? So, but is there more need than the $40,000? Yeah. I mean, there is, especially for this year. Last year also, it depends on your veterinarians in-house. So you have one that was on maternity leave. You know, I mean, that's going to make a big difference. You know, that's half the surgery right off of that. So roughly right now, we're doing about 100 surgeries a day. You do 50 surgeries a day when you're out in maternity leave. You know what I mean? So that does make a big difference on need that, as far as, you know, based on last year. Is it a growing program? Yes. Is there a need? 100%. And the word is out there, believe you me, because right now we're just kind of putting everything on hold, like, just hold off, you know, we're just waiting here at the fund, and we will, you know, have the funds in the future. So, is there any more? Oh my gosh, is there any? But as far as questions, we've got some questions on how it's going, numbers. Anybody?
I feel like the first year we did this, we appropriated $80,000 or so.
Is that, when it began, off? It was much less than that. It was like $25,000, and then it's slowly gone up.
It's gone.
Yeah, I think at one point it was around.
Last year was the first year. And also the other thing is, with that money, we had another a TNR program that was being sponsored, or those are our grants, funded by another program, and it was for Faulkner County Animals as well. So it's not just this that we take into consideration, it's the other one. That one ended, so now the TNR is, it's right, I mean, it is building in Faulkner County. We have more and more groups that are helping us, build that program. That's also, that's a big thing that we have to find coverage for as well, that we had, not going to have. So that matters too, as far as 40,000 versus 80,000. The ability to spend that 80,000 to the units there. Whatever, yeah.
Justice Kendrick.
Marie, I don't think a lot of these justices were around for a lot of the discussion when we got that set up and everything. So can, just for everybody's knowledge and everything, can you tell them how you verify that this, these are serving Faulkner County animals?
For sure. It's an application process. So my staff, so somebody calls, we can apply right on our website for assistance. It's strictly for Faulkner County animals. They do have to be at or below poverty level. So each one of those, and it is taken kind of into consideration if, you make, let's just say $40,000, which is above poverty level, $40,000 that you have with the animals that are not sterilized, then yes, well, we help that household absolutely, because to do that, that's a lot of money in any household. And we're not just talking about people that have a single animal and a single household income. We're talking, the need is so great and so out of control as far as the pet overpopulation that it's, you're talking 10, 30, 50. We helped somebody today that had 60 animals that lives in Faulkner County. Now, 60 animals, unfortunately, we're working very slowly with them. He's been very good with coming to his appointments, but it is kind of you've got 60 animals that you're still procreating. So the numbers are just astounding. So they apply online where they call us for the application. We approve them, we set up with appointments, and we allocate that money. So this household is, getting four vouchers for these animals and, just getting in and getting out. So we do book out quite a bit because, like I said, we do 100 sterilizations a day, and that's just, we could probably do 100 more if we have, she's going to get some better. But yeah, they're a great team, 100%.
I appreciate the program. I think it's a good program. I'm glad we have it. It was before when we couldn't quite put the pieces together on the shelter, it was a step that we knew we had to take. Justice Kendrick did a great job championing it, making it happen. I'm glad we still do it, anxious to see what it's going to look like in the future. Now that we'll have a shelter, is that a partnership that we can work out with companions, and what 100%. Does that look like?
We're looking to partner and doing sterilizations for the shelter, 100% that. And there's other things we can help with as well, as far as vaccinations. We do, it's not just sterilizations that we do, wellness. So it's basic wellness, it's like an end with just different things, but not too heavy. We're not full service. But there's a lot of things that we can help with. And we've kind of been talking back and forth where we're going to do it, how we can help, that kind of thing. But it's kind of still good in that early talks. Did you guys get up? That's fun.
Appreciate the explanation. I may have missed it. Where did you guys come up with a total of $12,000? How does that work?
Based on what we've done this far, and my second bet is actually another bet that just got back in the turn.
So this is a projection.
That's a projection. Gotcha. Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any more questions from the committee? Justice Pearson.
How do you verify residency and address of applicants?
They have to fill out an application with their address, and that goes on all of their legal documents. Rabies certificate is a legal document. So as far as us verifying with a driver's license, we're not doing that. But they fill out an address, it has to fall in Faulkner County, and we know it's a valid address because it's a computer software we use, kicks back and says that's not, it's not in Faulkner County, you can't use this grant. It's just...
Does that match with the name that they list on the application in some way?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And then have you considered limiting the amount of vouchers per
household?
For the household?
We do. There's, we can't do, like the gentleman we have today, so 60 is not feasible. That's just, and the completion rate for someone that's in that boarding situation is not really good. So we allocate other monies for that. So we have five, we start with five and see if they can actually follow through with that. And if they do get that five mark, there's the vast majority of the people we deal with are five and under, but we do have other monies that come in to help with the boarding situations. So yeah, even if they aren't Faulkner County, we have a fund that we do for cats. Our fund goes, and it's for any county, honestly, but you know, the vast majority, about 50% of all comes from Faulkner County.
And then the $50 covers what part of the total fee and what's remaining?
So it's weight dependent. So a female dog that is, let's just say under 40 pounds, the total cost for sterilization, but rabies comes into play with that too, is $80. It takes, you know, their remainder is $40. The vast majority of these animals are not sterilized, have not been to the vet, so they also have to, you know, factor in that rabies vaccine. My organization covers all pregnancy charges, crypt orchid charges, pregnancy charges that would normally, like a person, just a lay person coming in using our services that we charge, the maintenance covers that for the Faulkner County Center program. So, you know,
thank you.
You guys have any questions? You have any closing remarks, Justice Pearson?
Justice Pearson, I had some of the same questions that the public had reached out to me about with residency and how all of that is checked. Some of the rescues, when you pull the invoices, there are numerous rescues that are listed over and over and over again. It doesn't take much for all of us to realize that the rescues in Faulkner County are overwhelmed. So seeing the same names over and over and over is should not surprise us at all. But I myself started looking into some of the different rescues, where they board originated, where they came from. There was one in particular that I could not find any Faulkner County tiebacks to. I called them and I asked. I said, "Hey, let me, you know, let's visit." And they explained that they have a vet that they work with all the time. That is the one that they move through their fosters with Faulkner County. And I felt confident that residency was, those were Faulkner County animals that were being, that were utilizing the program with their fosters that were based in Faulkner County. So I definitely think that has been something that has been a concern in the past, but it is a legitimate situation where multiple rescues, they just, you know, they bring in multiple dogs, cats, whatever, because they're overwhelmed.
There's so many rescues in different parts of Central Arkansas that they do. So, let's see, Out of the Woods is, for an example, they're not one that's based around here, but they call us and say, "Hey, so we've got some in Faulkner County." They're not using Faulkner, the grant money here, but they're like, "Hey, I've got some in Faulkner County. It doesn't make sense for them to come to their base. They just, you know, can you help us here?" So we do that. We work with an organization called Claws. They originally were in Conway. Three quarters of all of their cats come from Conway, but their physical address, their PO box address is Little Rock. And I just recently asked them, like, why is it Little Rock now? Because it used to be Conway. Why is your PO box in Little Rock? They're like, "Well, our treasure is in Little Rock." I'm like, "Well, that makes sense. That's where she gets from." So I was like, "Okay." So, but all of them, I trust the organizations. I really do, as far as they know the rules. It was very, you know, it was laid out from the get go that you're helping. This is strictly for Faulkner County, but understand that we have other grants for other, you know, it's not just Faulkner County, you know what I mean? So if it's in Pulaski County or something like that, we will help Pulaski County with our funds. So, you know, we're a nonprofit as well, so we're always, you know, busy raising funds as well.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say we have had conversations, and we don't know what it's going to look like yet, but we trust they do a fabulous job, and we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. So we have envisioned, and we've had basic conversations. I know Nick has had much more in-depth because he understands that way more than I do, but our board feels very confident in what they do. They're doing it right. We want to figure out a way to make that all work together. And so we feel very confident. I just wanted to share that with y'all. The money's going to the right place, and they're doing what they need to be doing. So.
I was also hesitant, I'll be honest. the shelter is obviously a priority for me. And so to spend money somewhere else is, I had to think about it and put some thought into it. But with that being said, if we stop the SNP program because it's now out of funds for the next few months, I feel like we're cutting our nose off to spite our face. We're going to be dealing with these animals one way or another, whether it's now preventing their birth or later when they come into the shelter. And so an ounce of prevention, in my mind, is where we need to be. So I am for funding this ordinance.
Just that.
Yes, sir.
One more point.
Yeah.
I may have missed it, but were there stats or analytics on how many have been born here to date? Any other questions or comments? Last call. All right. All in favor of the passage of proposed ordinance 24-38, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. I'll hear motion for 24-39.
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 24-39 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. So this is what we consider kind of our normal appropriations ordinance. Money's being moved around here and there. I think the only real question I have is for our county clerk. Ms. Tarter, can you just tell us about Section 7 on here? Request for $20,000 for other professional services.
Yes, I am trying to contract to have the probate files scanned out of the vault so I can clean those out and have that space where people can come in and pull out their years' books and stuff. The vault is completely intact, and I've got a quote that I can get that all of those that are in the vault scanned.
And this is your county clerk cost fund, so this is the money you get from.
In there, if I'm on projection, I reach out to Scott, but I don't think I heard that from him. But I think I'm on projection. I should have that amount extra in there that I can do this with.
Yep. Is Section 8 something different, I assume, or is it kind of in the same category of spend? Like, is it the same service?
The category. Section 8 is actually IT department. And,
oh, sorry.
Yeah, and they're just transferring money because they had they come up short.
Yeah, yeah.
But they come up short. Something was actually paid out of the wrong line, and we're just adjusting that.
Yeah, I thought that was here for some reason.
Yeah.
Any questions from our committee members?
Chairman, Section 6 with the vehicles, is there any explanation on that?
Just Carnahan, do you know anything about Section 6 of this ordinance?
I might know something about that. If the members of the committee, even by the good afternoon, noon, evening, whatever. Last year we traded in, or we salvaged, what was our probation car, the home visits, that kind of stuff, traveled from here and put them back. And I think that Clinton's got their own car, they come back and forth too. It was totaled out. I think we got $8,000. I know we don't save money and it doesn't get pocketed away like that, but we got $8,000 to turn it to trade. We are able to get a new vehicle for $6,500, get a cage bar put in to separate people that have to be detained from our officers and all that. That may cost a little bit of money. We've got to pay. I think the sheriff's office may help us out with installing that. We've got people that are interested in it. But it's going to be $700 for new tires. I wanted to check that to make sure that everything's in good working order before I put two officers out there behind the wheel of it. And so I don't anticipate we will spend $10,000, but it's going to be somewhere close to $8,000 by the time it's all said and done, which is, in my reckoning, it's almost even, but anyway, that's kind of where we're at.
Thank you, Judge. Any other questions from the committee on that one? All right. Any other questions on any of our other sections of this ordinance? All right. All in favor of passing 24-39 onto full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. All right. Can I get a motion for 24-43?
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 24-43 on the table for discussion.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. There we go. I'm glad someone's moving back there. Come on up here. I don't know anything about this. Thanks, Sheriff.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. So this the DNA, this project that we are fortunate to be a part of, is a pilot program. It's a rapid DNA. I want to explain kind of what the purpose of it is and what it's for. We are a pilot program. There's two pilot programs in the state of Arkansas, and we were fortunate enough to be reached out to by the Arkansas State Crime Laboratory initially to be able to participate in this DNA program. What it is rapid DNA is a machine that initially will start out, we put one in our booking facility. Saline County is also doing the same thing in their process as well. As a felony comes into our jail, these felonies are swabbed, and within a 90-minute period, it matches DNA across the nation. And it is a tool that's been very successful down in Louisiana. They've had inmates that's normal inmates that get booked in, and they'll run the DNA sample, and then there will be a hit on them out of New York wanted in reference to maybe a rape or a homicide. That's the importance and the value of what this machine can actually do. They've made numerous arrests just based on that. Secondly, behind this, there will be a secondary machine that we will be able to utilize out in the field for investigative purposes. Out in the field, the DNA process is collecting evidence, bagging the evidence, bringing it, and being able to take any DNA off of Coke can, cigarette butt, whatever the situation is, that we can do that locally. The training and everything's involved, and we have been awarded $1 million in a grant for this process. That's a big deal, and it's 100% as well. Now, beyond that's kind of what the rapid DNA is about, the importance of it, the funding that we have, and from here, Chief Deputy Woolley has been dealing with the grant people. It's been a long process. It's still going to be a little bit of a process, but I'm going to let him come up and explain the purpose of what we're asking for in reference to what the grant writers want us to do as far as the federal government.
Thanks, sir.
So I may not use the right terminology, but I kind of see this fund, and Scott will probably be able to correct me here in a minute, kind of like a ghost fund. So once we accept this grant, the funding will be placed in an account, and as we make purchases, we'll be able to draw down, and it'll hit the treasury, and we'll file a claim. So it don't necessarily, as I understand it, need $1 million, kind of like some of our other grants. We've come and said, hey, we've got a reimbursement grant, some smaller scale, $40,000, $50,000. We're going to go ahead and pay, put it in there, pay our bills, and then they'll send us a check. For this, we'll do everything basically reimbursed without actually having the money up front. So they'll give us a short period. We'll get invoices. I'll ask for the drawdown, and then we'll pay the claim. You may be able to explain that process a little better.
This is not uncommon in grant funds. We see it all the time on these reimbursement grants. We by legislative body says we can run those grant funds into negative and get reimbursed for them. So this is not uncommon. Sounds like that you have to get the claims in order to be reimbursed up to $1 million. We're not getting a check for $1 million. So they'll expense it out of this 3531, I think is what I read on that. It's a new fund that's created. And then when they do that, they'll apply for the grant reimbursement and then the revenue will come.
So we don't have to front load this with any money.
You don't have to front load with any money. You're still going to have to appropriate it, however. You see what I'm saying? There's no funds needed because once the reimbursement can run in the negative in that fund until we get reimbursed. Okay. But you still need to appropriate the money to be spent out of there in order to go through the channels and go through the claims.
Sounds good.
So we're not looking, I'm probably not looking at any type expenditures this year. There's still a lot I have to do for this grant, policies to write, training. So we're probably looking at the earliest mid next year. I think the grant is probably a 3 or 4 year process. Can't remember exact dates. It's going to be big for our community. And it'll be for all law enforcement that brings somebody into our jail. You know, if you remember, it's based on the Lisa Fletcher Act. She was a jogger out in Memphis that got killed a few years ago, and that's what started this. So they have named this grant for the law after her incident. So, like, you know, somebody who's been in law enforcement, I mean, you submit DNA to Crime Lab, we're talking about weeks, months, sometimes a year. I'm still getting stuff from the Crime Lab from 2015. Mm. Every now and then I'll get something. It's old, okay? We're talking about 90 minutes. We'll know why we have the person in custody. We'll know if they're wanted nationwide or any other kind of crime. So.
This $1 million, and it does look like a 3 year program. Basically, is it per DNA thing that we run? Is a certain amount?
So yes, but you're paying for the samples. So inside okay. that, meaning there's a supply.
There's the machines.
Yeah, I didn't bring the whole
samples.
Thing. You got the machines, you got the software, and then you have the individual samples. It's already figured into this price based on our average of what detainees we have taken into.
That's what I was going to ask. So they're
on the criteria for
estimating that $1 million will last us 3 years.
Yes.
Okay.
And probably for honestly, it'll last probably longer than that.
Okay.
It was also my understanding that after that 3 year period, at least initially, there's some things mm-hmm. changed with Crime Lab and the Permit Channel when we started this process about 3 years ago. After that 3.5 years, and I talked with Sheriff Wright as well, and he's under the same understanding that the Crime Lab would then help support the swabs that we need to be able to
monitor.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome.
Chairman, a couple questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chief, we appreciate the explanation. A couple questions. One, does this require hiring a position? Is it a special position or is it something you're going to cross-train everybody with?
So it does not require any additional positions. We'll have to train probably a lead operator inside the detention facility. Because that's where the main station will be. And then we'll cross-train some other people as backup. Because there will be system testing. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that will have to be accounted for.
Will that impact overtime?
That's hard to say. If you look at your testing, like we test our blood alcohol machine, that doesn't require overtime. But it's a monthly, sometimes weekly, whatever test has to be run to make sure our machine's calibrated and working within its parameters. So probably along the same lines of that, but over time, I don't know at this point to be able to, I wouldn't think so.
And if I heard one of you guys talking, you mentioned the field, would these be devices you have on the field and in the office, or do you carry one device, and how does that work?
So there'll be one device will be stationary in Unit 2, and then one device, it's going to be somewhat mobile. We haven't got that far into that piece yet because there's just a lot to this. But it should be somewhat mobile. that, or we'll house it at our criminal investigation division.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a crime doc geek, so I can ask a lot more questions if I want. I won't do that, but I appreciate, this is incredible.
Yes, sir.
And I think it's pretty awesome that we may be able to solve crimes elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, that's 9 minutes. I mean, that's unthinkable. Yeah. Thanks for what you're doing.
This is just setting up the fund. This is not creating a fund. This is creating
a thanks for all your work on it, Chief. Appreciate it. It's really cool. Can't wait to see what comes out of all of this.
Yeah, we're excited.
Any more questions, comments from the committee? Audience members? Justice? All right. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
All right, all in favor of the passage of proposed ordinance 24-43 on the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. All right, next on the agenda, but not in your packet necessarily, is we're going to call it proposed ordinance 24-44. Can I get a motion to discuss that?
I'd like to make a motion that we talk about ordinance 24-45.
44.
44.
My apologies.
Second.
All right. Got a motion and a second. All right, it's not in your packet.
Gotcha.
All right, so 24-44, what it says on the agenda is one-time pay increase. So that's what that is, a one-time pay increase, also known as to non-government people, a bonus. So this is the Christmas bonus, the Thanksgiving bonus, but it normally goes out in one of the November pay periods. This right now, in the past, I don't remember the year it changed, but it was last year, $300. I talked to our county clerk. We got to talking about this last week, and as you can imagine, she's got quite a few things going on, having to put on an election here shortly. So we don't have an ordinance tonight because basically, I'll explain how this works in a non-technical way. Basically, there's a couple of line items. It could be the unemployment insurance line item. It could be a part-time or an overtime line item that we typically utilize to basically move this extra money in people's budgets into to pay for this one-time pay increase. That's where the money generally comes from. So it's not new money, if that makes sense. No one's asking for new money. It's money that's already been appropriated. We just move it around to pay for this Christmas bonus, for lack of a better term. We can, as a committee, choose to pass this one-time pay increase of $300 for all full-time employees, $150 for all part-time employees. That way we've passed it. She can do up the ordinance, and it'll be there for us in front of full court. If there's anything we don't like in the ordinance, we can argue it then. It's really up to this committee on what y'all want to do. But I believe we need to get it passed probably in our October quorum court meeting in order for it to hit at the time it normally hits people's checks.
So the quorum court meeting is on October the 19th, if I'm not mistaken. The pay period that we would like to pay it in is November the 23rd. So it only gives a one-day period to get it done and taxes paid. And taxes have to be paid on the day of payroll or there's a huge penalty. So if y'all can pass it in October, it makes being prepared and ready for it and not having to rush for it, waiting until after y'all pass it on a Tuesday night, try to run it on a Wednesday.
Is that the 15th of October, a week from tonight?
The amount's the same as it as it has been in I don't know how many years past. Really, it's just we have to approve the appropriations in order to do so. Yeah. Just small.
The 300 doesn't just sit right with me. It seems pretty low for how expensive things have gotten. So, yeah, I would definitely like to see what more we can afford.
Okay.
If anything else.
Quick question, Chairman. What number budget, what budget does that come out of?
So it's going to come out of multiple different funds because we have multiple different funds that pay for personnel. So one example of where this may be new money that we have to appropriate is, for example, our Faulkner County Museum, right? Because we have one person paid out of our Faulkner County Museum fund, which we talked about earlier this year that there's issues in. Now, if we choose to give that person with everyone else, and we're not going to single anyone out here, hopefully, a bonus, then that may include a new appropriation from county general or whatever fund. But for the most part, you know, we pay quite a few people out of county general, so we just move money around in their budgets to facilitate the one-time pay increase. So it's not necessarily new money.
So when I checked the numbers, we can actually do 500 and 250.
So it's like, you know, well, we've got a little extra in small equipment and tools, or we've got a little extra in tires or whatever, you know. It's really just finding a way to make that happen without kind of appropriating that new money. If that makes sense. One thing is, I would just say if we do choose as a committee to increase that, that we would need to stick. It's once you go up, you don't want to go down the next year. You know, that's one thing we want to think of is if we do go up, we want to make sure that is sustainable for future years. That's the main thing I'm thinking about.
Is this something that could be passed on to full board to decide to discuss the amount, or does the amount have to come out of committee?
So, to answer your question, for Margaret to be able to put together the ordinance that specifically appropriates all this stuff down to the penny for every person in the county, it behooves us to come up with the number in committee so that she can put together that ordinance and it is laid before the full court. Once we get to full court and start trying to adjust that, you know, that overall amount, whether it's 300 or 400 or 500 or whatever, is when it's going to throw the one in front of us out of adjustment, which I don't know, it just gets a little sloppy, you know. Not saying it can't be done, you know, but because it probably could be done. Because
I mean, I could run two ordinances. It's just it takes a long time. It's at least a 4 to 6 hour thing for me to do the one ordinance, and then I have to turn around and do it again with the different numbers. So I was just asking, like, which did you prefer, and then I would put that ordinance together. If it's the 300, then most of the line items will be out of workman's comp and unemployment. But if it's the 500, then there will be some maneuvering from other line items that I'll have to go and adjust and make sure I'm on the same page with the department heads and that they're all okay. But all the ones I talked with today already told me so most of that I have lined out, ready to go. I just don't know which way.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to make the motion to increase that to the 500 and 250. We're able to make that motion now.
Tyler, can I have a copy of what I gave you?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't pull my new copy.
He has a motion. All right, do you have a question?
I have a question.
Okay. You can ask. Yes.
Excuse my ignorance because I'm still learning. But throughout the last 2 years, we've discussed a lot of different things about a one-off or a raise for here, this or that, and how that affects the COLA. So are those two things are somewhat connected, if I'm understanding this correctly. So we pushed for a higher COLA back for 2024's budget season, and then now this we're asking for an additional money because of the cost of living. So I'm just kind of confused on... I don't know what I'm asking.
Exactly. I understand what you're saying.
Correlated.
Yeah, so, I mean, push comes to shove. The pot of money we have is the pot of money we have, you know. And this year, as we, you know, budgeted everything, and we had a little bit left, you know, and then people came and asked for a little raise over here and a little raise over there and a little raise over there, you know. And we don't really know what that all looks like until we get to budget season. Right. And then we know. Then we sit down at budget season. We see everything that everyone's asked for. It's all laid in front of us in one big, nice stack to say, this is how much money we're bringing in. This is how much money we're going to spend next year. This is where we're at. And then normally we lay the COLA on top of that. Say, well, how much of a COLA can we afford to give? You know, based off of all these changes that have happened through the year, what we project next year, how much of a cost of living adjustment, how much money do we have left over to give the cost of living adjustment? We've change that conversation a little bit to make the COLA, instead of a afterthought, to make it a priority, you know, to say we want to give and we want to give at least an X percent COLA. So let's start there. Let's start there. And then let's do our budgeting and see where it falls. Now, where this, I think, plays into the equation is that this isn't, and I'm sorry I keep saying the same thing, this isn't new money. This is money we appropriated last year during the budget cycle. And we get to the end of the year, and it hasn't been spent for whatever reason, and it's still there. So it's like saying, hey, it's November, we've come this far, we haven't spent this money, it's sitting here, let's give a bonus for Christmas. Does that make sense?
That does.
Now where I think we might have to pay attention to is if we do make an increase next year, what is that increase going to look like across the board? That's, I don't know the answer to that, you know.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Judge.
Am I able to speak?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right, so, I mean, the first, just kind of help orient you if you don't really understand, it's one time pay increase, by the way, it's not a bonus. One-time pay increase. Certainly, if the county did not have the money, you would not do that. Loosely aligns with the private sector, which would get a Christmas bonus, which is quite common. And I think that was through the years, through the decades, that was the original intent. The commentary that I would have, my first question was, and I got Margaret's numbers here, Chairman Hoskey's numbers. If you give the $350, $150, the total out of pocket is going to be $127,000, $128,000. And a treasurer can correct me, or a clerk, one. If you give the $500 and $250, that's going to be $218,000 or $219,000 out of pocket. Okay? My concern would be, you heard the chairman allude to, yeah, this year, can we as a county afford it? Can you afford to appropriate that this year? Of course. It's a difference that's quite small compared to the overall budget, which you're charged with administering, tens of millions of dollars. So I don't think the question is whether or not you can afford it this year. I think the treasurer would be stopping up and down, or the county clerk one, if you couldn't afford it. I think it's really more, you should make, in my opinion, you should make a decision, can we afford this forever? Is this an amount that hurts enough? And I'm not sure we should set that expectation, and let's think more strategically. One other thing the chairman said is, look, it's been that amount forever. Justice Moss raised a great issue, and I will just go ahead and tell you, Justice Mahosky and I visited back and forth, and he gave it great due diligence in his mind before he ever just kind of asked me what I thought. I don't have a vote, but certainly we, you know, in our administration, we have to watch those things and advise accordingly. And he was giving it his own due diligence, apart from how he is chairing this meeting tonight. So I want to give him a little bit of protection there. He's doing a really good job at tossing this out there and making sure discussion touches everything that it should. So that you guys understand that when you vote tonight. But in my view, I think it's healthy for you to realize the difference in cost this year and forever, unless you're willing to decrease it in the face of employees at some point. And so I think, well, what's the pain point there? What's the difference in that cost to you? I would also say that me personally, my bigger concern is can we do a genuine COLA every year, only get big or small? To the extent that this would affect your ability to do that every year, I'd be against raising it. But my first thought when I looked at this was, it's not as big a difference as I thought it was. I don't know how much where the sweet spot is. You may decide to stand on what's always been done. Kind of point to that is vacancy is not what it always used to be. And that's what your employees are having to be facing. And so I will say I'm not put off by this difference. but at the same time, let's don't lose sight of COLA. COLA is where it's at, where I believe you should really try to take care of your employees. Because that's the cost. It's 12 months a year, not just in advance of Christmas. You would argue the same.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you so much. Thank you, Judge. You know, really, when you look at the difference, like Judge said, between the what is it here, 127.9 and 218, if you go with the 300 and the 500, what happens to that money, right? What happens to the difference between the two amounts? It goes into really what we call carryover. You know, it goes into that pot of money that we appropriated this year, but we didn't spend. So it goes into that carryover, which oftentimes we try to use for capital projects and upgrades and vehicles or, you know, whatever else. Justice Moss had a motion to increase the amount to 500, and we will need a second to move forward with that. All right, not hearing a second. The motion is on the table. Well, we made a motion to discuss it. We're discussing it. Do I have a motion from a member of the committee to pass this to full court at the amount of $300?
I'll make a motion to pass this on to full court with the amount of $300 for full-time employees and $150 for part-time employees.
Second.
All right, we got a motion and a second on that. Any discussion on that point? Justice, anyone in the audience? Good. All right. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
We have two ayes and one nay. So the ayes have it. Right? Or is it not a majority?
You've got to have at least.
Got to have a majority of five. So motion fails. All right. Do I have a motion for proposed ordinance 24-45?
I'll make a motion for proposed ordinance 24-45 on the table for discussion.
I didn't see her vote.
Perhaps I'm confused, and I'm sorry. The vote for the $300?
Yes.
We're having trouble figuring out.
I heard
yes.
These two say yes, and I heard Jake say no.
That's what I heard.
Oh, you said yes? Okay.
I didn't hear her
microphone. Okay, I'm sorry. Then. Okay.
I didn't hear her, so that's why that was the busy vote.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yes. All right, so with three yeses and one no, the motion passes for the 300 and the 150 on the one-time pay increase. Margaret, we'll work up that ordinance and she will have it ready for us at our next meeting. So we'll see all the details behind that on as far as where that money gets moved around and how it exactly gets appropriated to make that happen. Thank you, Justice. You have a question?
I just want to be clear that I've said this before and I'll say it again. I am absolutely for pay increases for our employees. Our employees are the backbone of our county, and if we don't take care of them, they will go somewhere else. And that is absolutely not what I wanted or meant with my vote here. But I'm also a very scheduled and detailed person, and I like going in with an overall plan. And I feel like this is a one-off. I've made that mistake in the past, and I would really rather go in with a COLA and a plan in place to really prioritize a larger COLA than some of these one-time pay increases. Just wanted to explain my thought process.
Thank you, Justice. All right. Now, can I get a motion for 24-45?
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 2445 on the table for discussion.
Second. All right. We've got a motion and a second, and I will explain this motion. So back in, I guess it was 2021, I'm thinking, I ran an ordinance, and I ran it to basically keep the bid threshold, which means when the county's doing a project and basically when they're going to spend a certain amount of money on it, they got to go get bids. And that amount was $20,000. The Arkansas State Legislature raised it to $30,000, and at the time, we voted to keep it at that $20,000 amount. It's gotten to where we've got a lot of projects going on. We've got a lot of stuff going on. I trust Judge Dodson and Administrator Higgins who are doing all this work to basically say, let's repeal this ordinance. So that's what this does. This repeals the ordinance that keeps it at the $20,000 bid threshold. And what it will default to is the amount set by the Arkansas State Legislature, which today is $30,000. Questions, justices? Justices out there? Audience?
Didn't we do this not too long ago?
This repeals the ordinance that I passed to keep it at $20,000. This repeals it to take that away and to let it be at the state. I don't think we have.
Okay.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Proposed ordinance 24-45 passes to the full court. I believe, justices, we have run out of our agenda. Does anyone have any other business before the Budget and Finance Committee? Oh, we have potentially set a date for our all-day Budget and Finance Committee budget party. Can we call it a party?
Yes.
All right. And that is November 12th. I was wanting to schedule it for November 5th, but someone decided to have an election that day. So we're going to do it on November 12th, and we're going to start at a time TBD, maybe 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or maybe 9 o'clock. Okay.
7:30.
Yeah.
And we will
rock and roll, and we will work. What we have done is we will tentatively schedule another meeting for the evening of Thursday, November 14th, just in case there's anything that happens and we can't get it all done on the 12th. We have to go ahead and schedule that meeting. But on the 12th, if we get it all done, we can cancel the meeting on the 14th. So that's the plan. Before that meeting, more than 3 days before that meeting, I will have the county judge send you all the documents, all the budgets, to make sure you have plenty of time to review, ask questions, everything in between. Does that sound good to everybody? Like I said, this one day, all day meeting extravaganza is in place of meeting 5 or 6 nights in a row to try to get it all done. So, all right. You don't have anything for me, do you?
No, just a quick comment. As we're talking about the budget, we're doing a lot of new things this year, primarily I'm in charge. even scares me. As far as facilitating with the day-long session, that's something relatively new. I just want to give you an update, Mr. Chair, that we have the deadline to have the budget submitted to me was Friday. I have most of them. The ones that I have left are ones that have questions before they submit them. So we're working through those this week to have them, and hopefully we'll have them rolled up by the end of this week. And then I'll be working with Sarah and IT to actually roll all that, and I'll try to get it to you by the end of the week, and we'll go from there.
Yep.
It's rolling along right now.
Awesome. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, we're going to meet here. There was an open enrollment, but they moved that to the training room, I believe, down there. So it'll be because we've got cameras and mics and, you know, tablecloths, and, you know, you don't want to move at all downstairs. All right. Motion to adjourn. All right. Adjourn.